Excellent, excellent, excellent. Well, good morning and welcome. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Chris. I'm the lead pastor here at Hoboken Grace. And as the video introduced, right now we're in this conversation called Burst. And we're looking at how we can love better the one who has loved us most. How we can love better the one who has given his life for us. How we can love God, even in a shadow of the way that he has loved us. Specifically through musical praise. And the scriptures give us this picture of Jesus and the church as a bride and a groom. And this picture, this ideal picture of these two individuals who are moving into one another's life to understand how the other experiences love and then be able to deliver that over and over and over and over again, to demonstrate that over and over and over again, to get better and better at loving the other. And so we're looking at this and asking, okay, how do we get better at loving him, specifically in this way that we see, as we looked at last week, that we see that he experiences love. And some of you may have walked in today and you said, maybe for the first time, you said, why so much music? Why the music? And maybe you've asked people about this before, and there's a lot of confusion about this, because some people would say, well, we do that because of tradition, or we do that because it inspires us. Or we do that because we really love music. That's really not the reason at all. The reason that we do that is because he loves music. As we saw last week, even his presence, there's constantly music. And he loves to be loved in this way. It doesn't have anything to do with us. It has everything to do with him. And I hope that as we came together this morning, and even as we walked through those first two songs, that you came in here and said, okay, this is my chance to love him really well. And some of you right now are remembering what we talked about last week, and you're like, oh man, I totally forgot that. But that's okay, that's okay. We'll get there. But I hope that for some of you at least, that it impacted how you stepped into those first couple songs, because you realize, man, God loves to be loved this way. And this is one of the chances that I have to be able to express to him how much I love, care about, appreciate, celebrate him. Because we serve a God who loves to be praised through music. God who loves music. This is actually one of the ways in which you resemble him. As people, we love music, and some more than others, but we love music. There's a reason why every car that's made today has what in it? Every single car has a radio. No one goes to the auto dealership and says, "Hey, listen, can you take the radio out? I don't want to. No one. There's something about us. There's a reason why our iPhone. What did it start as? It started as an iPod. How can I carry around music? You remember when we used to carry around Discman, like that massive thing on the side of you that you used to run around with? But we went to great lengths. We looked like complete fools, but we love music. It's one of the ways that we are like him. It's one of the ways that you're like your dad. And this beautiful thing that the Bible says, that there are these things that are built into us that are in the image of our Father. And we serve a God who loves music, and he loves to be celebrated that way. And so we are looking at this and saying, okay, how do we do that better? How do we get better and better and better at loving him that way? And this is something that's fairly easy for us to do in this relationship. In some relationships, it's difficult because some relationships you're in, the other person isn't really loving you, and so it's hard. You have to work at it to say, okay, listen, I need to get better at loving them because it's the right thing to do, or I need to get better at loving them because I know that's what God would want me to do, or I need to get better at loving them because it's my duty. That's not our story with Christ. That's not our story with the relationship that we have with him. This isn't someone that we should have to work to love. This isn't someone that we should come to and say, well, you know, I haven't really been loved that much by you, but I know it's the right thing to do. That's not our situation. When it comes to this beautiful relationship between the church and Jesus, the reality is that he's loved in amazing, amazing ways, which should make it really, really easy. Should make it really, really easy for us to live our lives in such a way that we constantly say, well, how do I get better at loving him? How do I get better at loving him? And if he says that he's loved this way, then how do I get better at that? And the reality is, if we just awaken even a little bit, if we just awaken even the tiniest bit to how we've been loved, the reality is that we would burst. We would burst with celebration for him. It's exactly what Jesus was talking about last week when he's talking to the Pharisees in Luke 19:40, where he's entering Jerusalem, and it's this amazing moment where Jesus is about to carry out his most loving act for all of us. And his disciples are celebrating him, and the crowds are celebrating him and singing to him. And as he's entering, the Pharisees turn to him and say, listen, you need to tell your disciples and your followers, you need to tell them to be quiet. And Jesus says, listen, if you would just awaken a little bit to what's happening here, if you could just see even a sliver of what's about to happen, the reality is I could tell them to stop, but the rocks would scream my celebration. The reality is, if we just awoke a little bit to how God loves us, we would burst with celebration to him. He replied, if they kept quiet, the stones along the road would burst into cheers. I love how when you read through the New Testament, the writers at times burst with celebration. And you're reading through a book, and the writer's explaining to you some truth of how God has worked and some truth of how God has loved you. And in the midst of it, all of a sudden, they just break out of what they're doing, and they just begin to celebrate God. It's like it's just building inside of them as they're writing this letter. And then all of a sudden, they just burst. You see this in Paul's writings from time to time where he just can't keep it in anymore. He's like, and he just begins to celebrate who God is. You see this in the book of Romans. Throughout the first 8 chapters of Romans, Paul's been talking about the grace of God and the forgiveness of God and the beauty of God and how God has made it possible for us to be reconciled back to him and brought back into his family and adopted into his family. And as he gets to the end of Romans chapter 8, it seems that he can't contain it anymore, and it just bursts. And so he gets to Romans chapter 8, verse 31, and he says, what shall we say about such wonderful things as these? He gets to the point, he says, how could I possibly say what I need to say about such wonderful things as these? And he just begins to celebrate. He says, if God is for us, who can ever be against us? And since he didn't even spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us, won't he also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one, for God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? No one, for Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us. And as he continues, he comes to the end of it, and he says, I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all of creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. He's writing to us about the truth of how God has loved us, and it seems that the more he writes, the more aware he becomes of it, to the point where he just bursts. He just begins to celebrate who God is. The reality is, if we just awaken a little to the truth of how God has loved us, we will burst with celebration to him. But sometimes there are things that we allow to get in the way of that. And there are certain things in our life that can keep us from knowing and experiencing that. This is true in almost every relationship that you have. There are certain mindsets that you can allow to begin to come into your life that even though you are loved really, really well, you won't actually feel or experience loved. Even though you're loved really, really well, in the moment, you won't think, feel, or experience any love. One of the ways that this can happen is when you begin to develop a preoccupied mind. When you develop a preoccupied mind that's constantly moving on to the next thing, it's really easy for you, even in situations where you're being loved really, really well, to feel like you're not loved at all. When you're constantly thinking about the next thing that you have to do or the next place that you have to be or the next thing that you have to accomplish, when you begin to develop a preoccupied mind, it will rob you of the reality of how you're loved. This is true with your spouse. This is true with your friends. This is true with God. Fortunately, we live in an area of the country that's not very busy, so we don't struggle with this. Now, this is a big one for us. We have preoccupied minds. Some of you right now are thinking about where you have to be this afternoon, what you have to accomplish, the meeting you have to have, the thing you have to get ready for tomorrow morning. You have a preoccupied mind. You're never actually present anywhere. And it will rob you of experiencing the love that you're being given. Throughout the scriptures, God's calling us to be present with Him. He's calling us to pay attention to Him. Listen to what it says in Psalm 19, beginning in verse 1. It says, "The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display His craftsmanship. Day after day they continue to speak. Night after night they make Him known. They speak without a sound or word. Their voice is never heard, yet their message has gone throughout the earth and their words to all the world. God has made a home in the heavens for the sun. It bursts forth like a radiant bridegroom after his wedding. It rejoices like a great athlete eager to run the race. The sun rises at one end of the heavens and follows its course to the other end. Nothing can hide from its heat." And as you go through Psalm 19, the writer is talking about the beauty of God around us. But if you live with a preoccupied mind, you will miss it. And it will be very easy for you to think that you're not loved, even in the midst of being loved in amazing and incredible ways. I remember when I was in Italy, at the beginning of the trip, the leaders took us to several of these passages where it talked about the reality of how God is all around us. And as I moved through that week, and as I moved through that trip, it was incredible how it seemed that every time I turned around, I just kept seeing God in all these different places and all these different ways. I remember I was walking down this back alley of Norcia, and I came across one of the most beautiful rose bushes I've ever seen. And it was on the side of a street coming up the side of a building. And I thought to myself, how in the world do you have such a beautiful rose bush here? And as I got closer, I saw how the rose bush had been planted in the drain of the house so that it would naturally water it day after day. And as I sat there and looked at it, it reminded me of how God had brought so many beautiful things out of the drains of my own life. Out of those things that seemed like waste. It seemed like every time I turned around, I saw God moving. And it took me about 3 days back here in Hoboken before I lost that. Because all of a sudden my mind once again began to be preoccupied. If we're to awaken to the beauty of how God loves us, we have to learn how to train our minds to look for Him. This is one of the reasons why rhythms in our life are so important, why we're spending that time with God on a consistent basis, because we're training our minds to look for Him. To see Him and the beauty of how He's moving and working in our lives. This is why every week here at Hoboken Grace, we do what we call silence. Some of you have heard me talk about this before, but when we first started Hoboken Grace, we're setting everything up, and there's so many different pieces moving here and there and everywhere. And the reason we actually started silence is because I found myself moving into services, and I was preoccupied by the details of the service, and I wasn't able to actually experience God. And so we said, well, how can we give ourselves time at the beginning of the service to eliminate the preoccupied mind? And to once again focus ourselves on the one who is all around us. The one, as we talked about earlier this year, that we live and move and breathe in. If you live with a preoccupied mind, it will be easy for you to be loved greatly and never experience it. But it's not just the preoccupied mind. It also happens when we begin to develop an entitled mind. When we begin to believe that we deserve it. When we begin to believe that I've earned it. When you begin to believe that He owes me that. One of the reasons that Paul celebrates so greatly when he gets to Romans chapter 8 is because he's been contemplating what he shares with us in Romans chapter 3, that all of us have fallen short of the glorious reason for which we were created. All of us have fallen short of God's glorious standard. All of us have fallen short of the love for which we were created. When we begin to develop an entitled mind, it ruins our ability to be able to experience His love. This again is why communion is so important. Because communion and the practice of communion week after week after week, it reminds us of the fact that we don't belong at the table, but we're still welcome. It reminds us of the fact that all of us have fallen short, but we're still welcome. Because of what Jesus did on that cross, how His body was broken for us and His blood was shed for us. An entitled mind will rob you of the reality of how you're loved. And then as we begin to allow lies to enter our mindset, those as well can destroy our ability to understand how we're loved. We can begin to misunderstand what love is, and we begin to believe that love is about making me happy instead of actually doing what's best for me. We begin to believe that when God doesn't give us what we think will make us happy, that He doesn't love us. This past weekend was a great weekend for my family because my brother-in-law got married. I have a sister-in-law for the very first time, and it was a beautiful weekend. And yesterday, we had the opportunity to come together at her family's house, and this guy has the best kids' pool setup I've ever seen, as far as like a personal pool. It was an amazing pool, but then it has this massive water slide, and it's not a regular pool water slide. It's a tube water slide in his backyard. It was amazing. And my kids kept asking me to give them a chance to go because I took the whole thing to myself. It was awesome. And we had an incredible time, but we got to the end of that, and I went to my son, and I said, okay, it's time to leave, and he lost it. And he looked at me like, you don't love me. You've never loved me. You hate me. You want nothing but bad things for me. And sometimes we do the same thing to God. And all of a sudden, the lies about what love really is They begin to impact us, and we begin to believe because God doesn't give me what I think will make me happy, then he doesn't love me. A couple of weeks ago, I got to do something that I've wanted to do for over 20 years. It was a dream of mine. Some of you are going to think differently about me after I say this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. A couple of weeks ago, I got to go see Garth Brooks live in concert. And it was awesome. It was everything that I dreamed it would be. And except for the fact that there's one song that he didn't sing that I love. It's one of my favorites of his. It's a song called Unanswered Prayers. And it's a unique song for me because in the song, he talks about how he runs into someone that he used to date. And he talks about how he prayed and prayed and prayed for God to make sure that that relationship worked out. It's unique for me because many of you don't know this, but I have an ex-fiance. Some of you are like, oh, yes, I do. When you have an ex-fiance, you don't tell people you have an ex-fiance. And I think about all of the times that I begged and begged and begged God for that relationship to become a reality. But let me tell you something. There has not been a day for the last 15 years that I have not been grateful to God that he did not answer that prayer. Have you ever taken the time to sit down and thank God for the unanswered prayers in your life? Those things that you said, God, please, 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 please. And then 2 years later, you were like, thank God, no, 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 no. We begin to misunderstand what love is. Some of you may be here today and you're in that situation and God's not giving you what you think will make you happy and you're buying into the lie that he doesn't love you. That's not true. There are all these different things that can rob us of awakening to the beauty of how we've been loved. But when we push those things aside, we decide to focus on him. When we decide to not just move on to the next thing, but to pay attention to what he's doing in the world around us, when we decide to embrace the reality that we don't deserve any of this, when we trust him with his love. When we push these things aside and we become attentive. And attentiveness is crucial in love. As a matter of fact, it may be one of the most important aspects of love. Those who are great at loving are attentive. They pay attention. And this is important both in what we talked about last week and what we're talking about this week, because attentiveness is crucial if you're going to understand how the other person is loved. It's crucial. You have to pay attention to them. You have to pay attention to how they love. You have to pay attention to their experience of what you're doing. You have to be attentive. The same thing is true as it pertains to experiencing love. If you're not attentive, you will not see how you're being loved, and you can miss it. Attentiveness is crucial to love. And if we push aside those mentalities that will rob us of how we're being loved, and we decide to become attentive to God in the world around us, and it's not just Psalm 119 that calls us to this. You see it throughout the scriptures. As a matter of fact, Paul in Romans, before he gets to that big celebration, it starts with him talking about how God is moving in the world around us and calling us to be attentive. Romans 1:20 says, forever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, so they have no excuse for not knowing God. He says, listen, if you just pay attention, if you'll be attentive to him, you'll see that he's moving constantly in the world around you. And if you'll push aside those mindsets that will block you, those obstacles to being able to see it, and you will become attentive to him, you'll be overwhelmed by his love. One of the questions I used to ask my dinner group every single week when we came together, as a matter of fact, if you're dinner group leaders and you're here, this is a great tool for you to be able to use in the lives of your group. I used to ask them every week, where did you see God this week? Where did you see God this week? And the first couple of weeks, they'd all come in and say, well, I don't really know. I mean, I got a parking spot on Tuesday, and those weird things that we say. And it would take them about a month. Why? Because God had begun working more in their life in a month? No. They just learned to be attentive, to pay attention to what God was doing. And all of a sudden, they started to see him all over the place. And he showed up at that meeting, and they saw him in a conversation with a friend. All these different places. But in order for that to happen, we have to develop an attentiveness to him. And if we'll just begin to pay attention, his love will overwhelm us. And it will fuel our praise. For some of you, we came out of last week and I said, this is how God experiences love. And so as we come together, we want to come together and praise and worship him really, really well. And you said, I don't know how to do that. How do I manufacture that? You don't have to manufacture it. You just have to be attentive. And it will fuel your praise. Praise is fueled by observation, by paying attention to what God's doing in the world around you. And so as we continue this conversation, I want to challenge you with the challenge of attentiveness. And even if it's just for the next few weeks, I want to challenge you as you walk in those doors to ask yourself a question. Where have I seen God this week? Where have I seen God moving and working in my life this week? For some of you, maybe a good way to do this, because I was thinking through, how do we practice this? For some of you, maybe a good way to do this is not to celebrate communion during the last song, but to celebrate communion the moment that you walk into the room. To immediately go to the table and to remember how you've been loved. Why? So that we feel loved? No. No, so that we can love better. The more I reflect on my wife's love for me, the better I love her. Reflect on his love and allow it to fuel your praise for him. Even as you move through the songs, do this. As we move through the song, don't just sing the words. Reflect on how he's actually done that in your life. Personalize the song. One of the most meaningful churches in my life in teaching me how to be able to really love God through musical praise is the Church Brooklyn Tabernacle. And one of the things that they do there, and I love it, is that as they're singing a song, sometimes they'll take time in the middle of the song, and the music will keep going, and they'll just say, listen, I want for you to proclaim how God has loved you this week, or I want you to proclaim how this is true in your life. And they'll all begin to share that all across the room, and there's usually a couple thousand people in this church at one time, and so they're all sharing this. And I'm not going to ask you to do that because you'd all freak out and leave, okay? Some of you are terrified right now. But one of the things that I learned to do in that is I learned how to be able to use instrumental times in songs. Some of you, when the song goes to an instrumental, you get lost. You're like, I don't know what to do. I'm uncomfortable. Should I look at someone else? Should I just look down? What do I do? But to be able to take that time and to be able to engage God in prayer and thanksgiving of how he's loved you in that unique way as it pertains to what you're singing and what you're celebrating of him. To take that time to engage him in prayer. Make it personal. Don't sing to the band. Sing to him. This isn't about the band. It's about him. And I get the chance to be able to love the one who's loved me so well. I get the chance to love the one who's loved me so well. As we move forward, my dream for us is that we would become great at loving him in this way that he experiences love. That as we walk in, because we're attentive to how he's loved us, it will fuel and ignite within us a passion for celebrating and loving him this way, that we would burst if we didn't have the chance. When David talks about going to the temple, he says, I can't wait to get there because I get to celebrate the one who has loved me so much. My dream for us, and I believe that God, as he's calling us to celebrate him in this way, is calling us to be attentive to him so much so that we cannot wait to get together and celebrate and love him. May that be our story. May we love him that way. Will you pray with me? Father, as we continue to walk through this, the reality is that we don't need you to love us more. You have done all that needs to be done in order for us to worship you every moment, to praise you and celebrate you every moment for the rest of our existence. But in spite of that, you continue to love us. You continue to give to us. Now, Father, we acknowledge the fact that we allow these mindsets to come in. And even in the midst of your love, for us to begin to believe the lie that we're lacking, that we're not loved. And Father, we want to repent of that today. We want to confess that today. We want to walk away from that today. And we want to embrace you. And we want more than anything for you to know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, for you to know with all that we have that we love you. That you are the best dad we could ever ask for. In Jesus' name.